All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and pray that you would speak to us this morning just in regards to our own lives personally, the call that's upon each of us, Lord. And as we're going to see, you've chosen some things for us to do ahead of time. It wasn't haphazard, and life isn't random. Lord, we are walking on a path that you have gone ahead of us on. And so I pray that we would see that, and that, Lord, that we would yield to you, that we wouldn't try and push our own way or forge our own path, but that we would abandon our lives to you, to live for you. So speak to us this morning in these next few minutes, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Dead Sea, if you've been to Israel, you know the Dead Sea is an interesting place. It is 1,440 feet below sea level. So the shore, the land, the shore is 1,440 feet below sea level. It is the lowest land on planet Earth. And so, among other things, you know, oceans are typically around 3.5% salinity, salt content. The Dead Sea is just about 35%, 10 times the salinity in the Dead Sea. So it's the strangest thing when you go out onto the Dead Sea, when you go swimming, because no treading necessary, no dog paddling necessary. You just float. You're just held up because of the saltiness of the water. But the other interesting thing about the Dead Sea is that there's no plants, no animals, nothing except microscopic things that live in the rock crevasses in the bottom. Nothing living in it, so you don't have to worry about a shark attack or some slithery thing, you know, coming and slithering against you. So it is the Dead Sea. They call it for a reason. Now, the reason that it's dead, largely, is because though it has a river, the Jordan River, flowing into it, it has nothing flowing out of it. There is no river going out the other side. And so the lake, really, it's a size of a lake, but it's called a sea. And the sea maintains its level, not through, you know, passing through the waters, but by evaporation. And so it just evaporates up and nothing lives in it. The Dead Sea. And it provides a pretty good metaphor for us for how to have a miserable life. You've got flow coming in, nothing going out. It's all take, 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 no give. And yet it was Jesus himself who said it's better to what? To give than to receive. So imagine if you stop the flow of giving, of serving, of loving, stop that flow, that is a recipe for being dead inside. Okay, we need to clap a little bit this morning because obviously you weren't able to get the claps out during worship, and so I can just see all through my time here, just, woo, everybody, yeah, you're going to clap at the worst times possible. Yeah, I see how you guys are. So the Christian life, it's full of paradoxes, and that's something you come to understand as you walk with the Lord. You know, we fix our eyes on things we can't see. We die in order to live. We are exalted through humility. We live by dying. We triumph through defeat. We become great by serving. So with our remaining few minutes here, I'm going to just throw out some kind of big ideas from the Bible concerning serving the Lord. And listen, serving the Lord isn't just getting involved in a ministry that's housed within the church. It isn't just that. It is that, but it's more than that. But some of you perhaps are going to take a step to get involved, and that's good. As we're going to see, that is a ministry, whichever one you get involved with, it's a ministry unto the Lord. And so the first big idea that I want to present to you from the Bible this morning is we are called to serve. We're called to serve. That is, there's a calling on us. So that word, calling, that means your life has purpose and meaning to it. There's things to pursue. Did you know that there are over 70 people who serve here on Sunday mornings just to make sure Sunday mornings happens? Let's give them the appropriate applause right there for all the servants. They are taking care of our babies and teaching our children, and they are protecting us. They are serving us coffee and donuts, welcoming us as we enter the building, and so on. I heard this morning from every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., we have what we call a team rally for everybody who serves here. So 70 people plus people, we rally together, we worship a little bit, I bring the word, and it's kind of a pep rally. We want to get fired up to be able to serve you all on this most important day of the week, the Lord's Day, the day that we gather to worship Him. And so at the rally this morning, Brenda Fouts, who's part of the Comfort Food Ministry, was telling us how that we as a church, through the Comfort Food Ministry, we have fed dozens of people in our church who have gone into the hospital and are now convalescing at home. And so we deliver meals to them every single day. I know it for a fact because my wife is on that meal chain, and she's cooking meals just about every week and delivering them around the valley to the people of our church who are convalescing from something, or people who have just had babies. We have over 10 babies born this year, and so meals are delivered. The Comfort Food Ministry, funerals, we've had, I forget what the number was, 12, more than 12 funerals or something like that here, and our Comfort Food Ministry gets together, they provide the meal. No matter how many people are at the funeral, they will provide a wonderful meal of chicken and salads and so on and so forth, so that the family that's grieving, after the funeral's over, they can just go right into the grindhouse or wherever it's being held and just be together with their loved ones. The food is provided. It's an act of love. And so, listen, all kinds of ministries are happening here. A couple weeks ago at the 9 a.m. ministry rally, I told the group, we're not saved by works, but we're saved to work. We're not saved by works, right? We're saved by grace through faith, but we are saved to work. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the Lord is shaping us, growing us, and maturing us for good works. We're not saved by them, but we're saved to them. There are specific things that God has us to do in this life. He's prepared them beforehand. It's already in the path that we're walking. And so our challenge is we don't want to miss them. We want to say, yes, Lord, here am I. I'm reporting for duty, Lord. We don't want to be walking down the path and then go this way when the Lord has set before us those good works that He's chosen for us to do. They are meaningful. They are not random. There are certain good works that God has prepared ahead of time. And those things are the things that we should want to know about and want to accomplish. That's why we need to pray about it. Lord, what would you have me to do? What ministry would you have me to get involved with? How would you have me to serve in my church? How would you have me to serve in my community? Lord, how would you have me to serve in my family? So it's our job to grow up in the Lord, to show up and then walk in the things that he's prepared for us to do. And we should encourage one another towards this. This is part of what happens when we gather, on whether it's Sunday mornings or any other day of the week, is we encourage one another towards love and good deeds. Remember Hebrews 10:24? Let's consider one another, how to encourage one another, inspire one another to love and good deeds, good works. So I want to think about, how can I inspire you? How can I fire you up to want to do good for the Lord, for his kingdom, for his people, for the lost? So we encourage one another. Titus 3:8 says, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want to insist on these things. I'm insisting on this, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. Those who have believed in God, those followers of Christ, that they devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. Like, your life matters when you devote yourself to doing good works, to helping people, to helping them in their walk with the Lord, to helping them in a time of need. So we're not saved by works, but we're saved to work. But secondly, second big idea, we're all building the church. Now, not specific, we are building this church because you're part of this church, but we are all building the Big C Church. How many of you know that the Big C Church is every born-again, regenerate human who has the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of them all over this planet? That is the Big C Church. That's the bride of Jesus. Yeah. And so Lighthouse Church is a local expression of that Big C Church. And so every one of us who's been called to follow Jesus and to embrace him as Lord and Savior, we now are builders with him of the church. Jesus is the primary builder. Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, Jesus said. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Right? So we get saved, we start following Jesus, and we become builders with the Lord of his church. 1 Peter 2:4, you, as you come to him, being Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, that's Jesus, rejected by the religious establishment, you yourselves are like living stones. You're being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So there's a lot in those two verses. There's a lot. So we're a part of the structure, according to Peter, and we are like living stones. Now, avoid the dumb as a rock comments, or, you know, you're a blockhead, anything like that. We are part of the structure, but we are also now co-laborers with Jesus building the structure of the church, this spiritual house. Now, it's true of you, whether you're a day old in the Lord or a decade old or 50 years old in Jesus, you are a part of the structure and you're helping build the structure. Peter says we are part of a holy priesthood. Now, if like me, you had a Catholic background, then you think priesthood, you think the little clerical collar with the white square right there, and you think Father, you know, whoever your father was, for me it was Father Bishop, which is odd, and then later Father Schoenberg. Father Bishop was mean, Father Schoenberg was sweet and nice, but anyway, that's my background. But you think priesthood, you think Catholicism. Well, the New Testament says that every person who comes to Jesus is a priest and joins the New Testament priesthood of all believers. So some of you didn't know you were a priest here this morning. You're a priest if you're in Christ. And as priests, we now offer sacrifices to God, right? That's Old Testament imagery, the priests of the Old Testament. They were responsible for worship and the temple and the sacrifices and all of that. And so they offered physical sacrifices, bulls and goats and lambs and pigeons and doves and grain and wine and all this stuff. All these offerings would be brought to the Lord by the priests. So in our ministry, our New Testament ministry as New Testament priests, our sacrifices to God are spiritual. That's what Peter says. We offer spiritual sacrifices. We're priests, just like in the Old Testament, except our sacrifices now are spiritual, not physical. God accepts them, according to Peter, because they're sanctified by Jesus. They come through Jesus. So your priestly ministry, the things you do for God and offer to God, are acceptable through Christ. They're not acceptable because you had a good week. They're not acceptable because you've been doing pretty good. You've been killing the Christian thing pretty good. You just like, woo, been really on fire lately or whatever. No, it's all predicated upon who Jesus is. These sacrifices are how the church is built. Remember, we're part of the church, we're living stones, but we're also participating in building the church. And it's through the sacrifices as New Testament priests that we make that the church is built. Let me show you how this works. What are the spiritual sacrifices that we offer as New Testament priests? Let me give you a couple at least. Evangelism, gospel sharing. That is a spiritual sacrifice. How do I know? We just went over it in our Wednesday night midweek study. Romans 15, 16. Paul says, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, and the offering of the Gentiles. I'm sharing the gospel with the Gentiles. Gentiles are coming to Jesus, and they are an offering from me to God. That's the language of priesthood. It's a spiritual sacrifice. Listen, the neighbor that you invite to church, or that person that you talk to about the Lord at school or at work or wherever, and they come to know the Lord, listen, that is a priestly ministry. That is a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice to God. And it's acceptable through Christ. Secondly, worship and gratitude and praise is a spiritual sacrifice according to the Bible. They are parts of our priestly ministry to the Lord. They're part of our serving the Lord. These are things that we give directly to God. That's why we love that song, Gratitude, right? I have nothing else fit for a king. What can I give to you, Lord, except for a heart filled with gratitude? And that is the very thing that God loves. He loves that. Hebrews 13, 14. Here we have no lasting city, here on the planet, on the ball we're on right now. We have no lasting city, but we seek a city that is to come. And through him, that's through Jesus, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. So continually, don't stop. Don't make this a once a week thing, but practice it throughout your week, being full of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, as you're driving to work. Thank you, Lord, that you've given me a new life, a new day to live. Thank you, Lord, for the people I'm going to meet today. Help me to be a blessing to them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for a sunny day or a rainy day or whatever it is out there. Thank you, Lord. Those are sacrifices to God. And when we gather together and we begin to worship, I hold up my hands. That is literally a spiritual sacrifice to God. And it is acceptable to him. And we are made for this. We are made for this. I hear more and more people these days thanking and praising and offering their sacrifices to the universe. Is anybody hearing that a lot besides me? I just want to thank the universe, man, for like... I asked Grok if it was okay to thank the universe. I thought, I want to see if Grok is a Christian or not. And this was Grok's response, quote, "Yeah, it's totally okay to thank the universe. It's a personal expression of gratitude, often tied to feeling connected to something bigger or appreciating life's moments. Some see it as a spiritual gesture, others as a way to focus on positivity. No harm either way. It's about what resonates with you." Grok needs Jesus, okay? So listen, thanking the universe is decidedly not giving thanks to God. Thanking the universe is idolatry. So a lack of gratitude, just to remind you that how big this issue is, it's a lack of gratitude essentially that got the world into the mess that we're in way back in the beginning. That comes out in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1:21, "Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks, gratitude to him. They stopped thanking God, recognizing him as the source of all things, life, all the good things. But their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator." Listen, you only have two options. You can worship Creator God, in which case all of your gratitude ultimately goes to him, because every good thing has come from him. Every good and perfect gift, James chapter 1, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning. You can worship him who is the uncreated creator of everything, or you can worship something he created. That's the only options you have. And if you choose to worship, you know, to thank your lucky stars, okay, that's a dark path that you begin to go down. So our gratitude to God, our thanks, our praise, our worship is not a small issue. It's not. It's huge. And so when we gather on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, to offer and praise, that's our priestly ministry, and I would argue is our primary ministry. Gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving is our ministry to God. Let me give you scripture to back it up. In Acts chapter 13, the church in Antioch was gathered, and it says this, Acts 13:2, "As they," meaning the church people, "as they ministered to the Lord," ministered to the Lord. Was the Lord in the room with them physically? No. The Lord was in that room, just like he's in this room. And they ministered to him. They praised him. They thanked him. They prayed to him. They ministered. Their ministry, the ministry of that service, was to minister to God. And what did God do? The Holy Spirit said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." God spoke in the midst of their ministry to him. God spoke and said, "Here's what I'm calling these two guys to," Saul, who would become Paul, and Barnabas. Listen, when you're performing your New Testament priestly duty by bringing your gratitude to God, your love, your thanks, your praise to God, like we've done here this morning, we're not done yet. As you do that, oftentimes in life, you'll hear God, the Holy Spirit will be making adjustments in you and shifting you this way or that. Yes, I want you in this ministry. I want you to take this step of faith. Hey, you've been on the sidelines for too long. It's time to get in the game, or whatever it is. And the Lord will say, I've separated you for this work. Now, we don't perform our priestly ministry to God so that he speaks to us. God just does sovereignly when he wants, how he wants. They minister to the Lord. Every one of us has a ministry to the Lord. Every one of us. And I believe it's the first and greatest ministry. So we show up at church every Sunday to fulfill our God-given ministry, to offer up sacrifice and praise and thanksgiving. We're living stones in the church that's being built, and we're now builders with the Lord as the church worldwide is being born. You know, we've been conditioned to by our consumer culture to think of what church can offer to us, what church can do for us. And that's so non-biblical. It is not the way to think of it. You know, we're not the consumers at church. We need to think of church. We're the consumees at church. We're here for the Lord. We're here for God. We're here for him to be able to offer our love, our gratitude, our worship, to open up our ears to have God speak to us. God, we're here for you. To present ourselves, perhaps anew and afresh, as a living sacrifice to him. We're not consumers, we're consumees. I need to end. There are lots of spiritual sacrifices. Your financial giving is a spiritual sacrifice. Maybe you haven't thought of it that way. Maybe you think, you know, people think of money and they think it's, you know, corrupted. The love of money is, you know, the root of all sorts of evil, you know, and all that kind of thing. But for New Testament priests, whom God has blessed with resources, it's actually a good and beautiful sacrifice. Let me just prove that to you. Philippians 4:18, Paul says, I have received full payment, meaning an offering, and have more than enough. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to, not Paul, well, they were pleasing to Paul, but pleasing to God. The money that you gave was pleasing to God, a sacrifice fragrant to him. So that same money that the love of corrupts people and is, you know, is the root of all kind of bad stuff, that same money given to God is a fragrant sacrifice, part of your New Testament priestly ministry to him. So, listen, so much more we could say on this, but we won't. Because I want to make sure we are able to get to the table this morning where the greatest human who ever lived showed us how to live life. Jesus came not to be served, not to have it just flowing in, receive like the Dead Sea, just have it receiving it. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. The outflow of Jesus' life was continuous. And gang, that's where the joy is found. That's where the depth of meaning is found. You're walking in the very purpose that God has created you. And you're walking in the works that he preordained for you to walk in. And there's nothing in life that can compare to it. You can try and, you know, forge your own path and, you know, create your own fulfillment in life, knock yourself out. But your creator, he created you. And no matter how you try and forge your life apart from the one who made you, it's a losing battle. So much wiser would you be to say, Lord God, I don't want my plan. If you've lived any amount of years, your plan has probably found you in the ditch a time or two in life, right? God's plan is to put you on the highway of faith, a path that leads towards an eternal city, an eternity. And the things that you do now in this life for him, as a child of God, as a New Testament priest, they go on into the next world where you'll be rewarded and blessed. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you praise, thanks, adoration, love this morning as our God. We acknowledge that you are the giver of every good gift. You are the source of all life, that every breath we take is a gift from you. Lord, you created everything, the universe, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, this planet, all the plant life, every human being, every one of us. We didn't make ourselves. Lord, you create us. And like the psalmist says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the sheep of his pasture. So, Lord, as your people, I pray that our heart would be to follow you, Lord, to serve you. So, Lord, if we've been maybe a little bit reluctant, a little bit stubborn, a little bit rebellious, I don't know. But whatever is just kind of holding us back this morning, I pray that every obstacle to our surrender to you would be just taken out of the way right now. And Lord, that we could just respond with an emphatic yes and amen, Lord, to you, to what you are saying to each of us, that we could say yes and amen. Here am I, send me. Listen, if the Lord is speaking to you this morning about your life, about investing your life, about being involved in ministry in this way or that, and you are ready to say yes to God, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. If you're ready to give God an emphatic yes and amen, an emphatic, here am I, send me, Lord. Then you just stand up right now. And I want to pray for you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these who are standing. Thank you, God. Lord, would you just nudge right now anybody else by the Spirit? Just nudge them. And Lord, this just could be a really important moment for some. Anybody else, stand to your feet. Do it now. Stand up. Lord, for all who are standing right now, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would come alongside and would ratify their yes and amen. Lord, they're saying yes to you. And so as they do that right now, Lord, would you affirm that to them? And Lord, empower them to do the good works that you've ordained for them to do beforehand. You've planned them out. And whatever that means to them, Lord, you make that clear to each and every one. And that they could walk with you as you have planned. And so, Lord, receive their surrender. Receive this sacrifice, this Romans 12 kind of a sacrifice. Beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Lord, these are living sacrifices being placed upon the altar right now. So receive those sacrifices, be pleased, and use them. Lord, let holy fire consume. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you are welcome to make your way to the communion table, church, if you're a believer here this morning. And if you're not a Christian, I invite you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and become a believer in him this morning. And you can do that through a simple confession of Christ as your Lord and Savior.